I don't really think it needs a lot of explanation. We all sang this at school, I'm quite sure, so it will bring back a lot of memories for everybody. But it's particularly relevant for me because I think most of you know that I have quite a relationship with animals, we could say. I volunteer at Willow Bank, and over a number of years we fostered pet rabbits for the SPCA. We've got pets at home, and if there's an animal in need, we'll be there. So I think All Things Bright and Beautiful is very, very relevant for the animals. And of course, we're seeing lots of daffodils around now, very early spring. So All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
The hymn of When I Survey, special to me of all what Jesus did for us in going to that cross and dying, that we would have eternal life with him in a personal relationship in a personal way, and he means so much to me.
Yeah, just I just love this hymn. It's one of my absolute favourites. It's because I know that with God all things are possible. The reason I love it is because of the things that happened earlier in my life, and I'll be as fast as possible. But by the age of 11, there were three different groups of individuals who were involved in bringing abuse to my life. And so one's enough, but three's quite a few. And by the time I got to 11 years of age, my life was phenomenally dark. It was awful. It was wretched. And I realised at that particular point, unless something happened, then it was all over. It was all finished. And so I remember crying out to the Lord, and I know that he must have helped me, but I didn't know him or I didn't understand him at that time. But one of the things that I knew I had to do was to fight my way out of it. And so my dear old dad, he had in his granary sacks of grain stored, because he also fed some poultry, so they were too high. So over the next 6 months, I taught myself how to fight, how to box. And so I worked very hard at that, and I had to cut the kindling for the fire, for the oven each day. And so I began breaking that before they even heard of karate. I was breaking the sticks with my hands. And then when 6 months were up, I felt as though that I was ready to change things around. And I was only a little fella, and so on one particular morning, I didn't care whether I lived or died, I went and I started sorting things, and I really sorted it. And I went from zero to hero, and in that situation, it gave me a chance to be able to sort of have a different way of looking at life. But the problem is that violence is never the answer. And even though it stood me in good stead for the next few years through secondary school and also at university and so forth, I spent a lot of time trying to adjust to the things that had happened, and my life was incredibly dangerous. I was very reckless. I didn't value life very much at all. And also with that, my life was quite sinful. And I also picked up martial arts. So I had a combination of things that really made sure that I always came out of things very well. But I did keep getting into fights, whether it was through the holiday time at the freezing works to get money to go back for the next year, or even when I came to Christchurch City here to do a postgraduate secondary teacher training. I remember it working night shift because I didn't get married that year. In August, it was only about 3 weeks away from today that we'll have been married 53 years. But what happened was that even there, unfortunately, that sort of thing seemed to keep happening. So when you get to, say, 21, 22 years of age, you realise that you can't keep on living that way, otherwise you'd lose the role in your profession, and you have to have a new way of living. You're married, and it's time to try and do something different. Very fortunately, I married a Christian, praise God, And she had been a Christian since she was a little girl, and she was a high school sweetheart for me, even though we both went to different cities and did different things. But later we got back together and we knew that we were the ones for each other. And so when it came to Christchurch City here, we were here for 1 year. I ended up in a coven, a witchcraft coven just down the bottom of Kashmir Hills there, with quite a large group of people. The person who runs it is a major industrialist here, Steele, in the city. And what happened was that I had a really bad demonic experience, and I couldn't hit it, and I couldn't shoot it. I was a hunter, and so forth. And so we got out of Christchurch at the end of that year and moved up to the Waikato and there to start a new life. And around about 2 years into it, what happened was that I decided that my wife had something that I definitely didn't have, and so I began searching for God, even though I'd done a philosophy unit here at Canterbury that even goes through and gives arguments for the existence of God, but it was more logic than anything to do with experience. And so privately, so that she didn't know, in case it didn't work out, I began seeking to see if there was God. And so for a whole week, I went away by myself, and it came to Friday, and she was away to one of her church things one Friday night. And I'd spoken out and said, if nothing happens by 8:30 next Friday night, I'll know either you don't exist, if you do exist, or else you're interested in only some people. And so Friday night at 8:30 came, and I did all the right things. I knelt by my bed and waited. And what happened was that nothing happened at 8:30. And at that particular point, I climbed up in my bed and thought, well, this is a bit different. I better find a new way of doing things. But then the Holy Spirit was with me, which I didn't understand. And he began to convict me because my life was really dark. My soul was dark from the life that I'd had. And he began to convict me of my sin. And I remember saying, I don't know if you exist, God, but I realize that I've trampled all over your flower beds, and I really am exceedingly sorry. And if you can find it in your heart to forgive me, I'd deeply appreciate it. And I'd no sooner spoken that than there was a sweetness of peace that poured over my life. And I had never felt anything like it in my life. I knew it was great, and I didn't want to miss 1 second of that experience. I remember climbing into bed. It was only about 8:45, and Mary must have come home later. And but I had this most amazing first time in my life, sleep in the presence of the Lord. And next morning at 6 o'clock, he woke me up. He was standing in our room in this particular building in this house we lived in at May Street in Tukaroa. And Jesus, his face was shining like the sun. His clothing was so white, you could not get that clean with anything like this on earth. His eyes were like fire, and yet they were full of absolute amazing love. And his hair was white like snow. And I sat up in bed, and I was just in his presence. But what he did was he made me clean. He cleansed every part of my life. And it may sound really silly, but even it felt like the hairs on the backs of my hands were clean, every bit. And I was sitting there, I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then he sent something that I'd never had before in my life. I could see, it must have been in the Spirit, I could see the Holy Spirit coming to me, bringing the love of Jesus into my heart. And I sat there and I was loved in such an absolutely amazing way that I'd never experienced. And because I was wrapped up and saying, thank you so much, Mary woke up and she said, what's happening? And I said, darling, you're God, who's Jesus. He's here with us. And so she was sort of like, you know, any one of us, she was sort of like stirring to try and catch up on what was happening. The Lord quietly went from there, and but I was a changed person, and I invited his Spirit to come and live in me. Shortly after that, there was a Reverend Harry Greenwood from the UK, and he came out with a really good healing ministry. And by that time, we had got into a very, very good small group, house group, run by the local chemist, Alan Comrie, and his wife, Leslie. And so they discipled us for the next couple of years. And it was a fantastic experience. But I did receive, through the laying on of hands, an impartation of the Holy Spirit that was just so important. And then the Lord spoke to us. So we gave up our country service, headed off back to university, studied psychology and theology, and then I've had the privilege of serving the Lord, just like any one of us here, horses for courses, and went out and we've served him ever since here and in Australia, obviously, just planting churches, training pastors and counsellors and all that sort of stuff. But all I can say is that that particular hymn, you know, is probably right at the heart of my most favourite hymn, where it just simply says in that last verse, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, would not be an offering, it'd be just far too small that I could give to him. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Glory to God, Jesus is alive."
Good morning. When I feel the wind on my face, I think of the song. I love this hymn. It reminds me of how to pray, and it gives me hope. Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, my Father sent the blessed Holy Spirit. I can feel the power of the wind when I'm standing on the mountains or biking. I can hear the wind, but I can never see it. We have jet streams of wind that travel around the world constantly, and the birds fly in them. The best-selling book in the whole world today, amazing, is the Holy Bible. Who wrote the Holy Bible? The Holy Spirit. From Genesis verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, God talks to us through the Holy Spirit. No one prophet has seen God, but God conveyed his message through the Holy Spirit to the prophets. God sent Jesus to save us. He loved us so much, but Jesus had to give his life so that we could live. Jesus told us he would send the Holy Spirit to guide us. Without the Holy Spirit, my life, I would not have the strength or the courage to do what I do. Acts chapter 2 tells us about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Peter tells the crowd how the Holy Spirit can affect people. When I feel a wind on my face, I always think of the Holy Spirit. Every day I thank God for all I have experienced and for the protection he gives me. That is why this song means so much to me, and I hope you can feel the Holy Spirit when you sing this hymn. Thank you.
King of Love, my shepherd is, and she's given me her description. So Glenys says, this hymn is a favourite because I love the imagery, especially the third verse, which is perverse and foolish, I have strayed. But in his love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. This tells of the Lord's tender care for us in life despite our mistakes, his provision and our anticipation of heavenly joys, particularly then towards the end as well. The last verse, which is, "And so through all the length of thy days thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever." Another favourite is "Crown Him with Many Crowns," which speaks of God's heavenly majesty, a magnificent sight, and "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
As you see, I've chosen I Will Sing the Wondrous Story from our hymn book. These words were written in the 19th century by Francis Rowley, who was actually an American Baptist minister. My brother was a Baptist minister, so there's a connection there, maybe. But he was also, Les was glad, would be glad to know, an animal welfare campaigner. He was a friend of a young singer called Peter, who asked Rowley to write a hymn for him to put to music. So during one night, in one of those Holy Spirit times, I guess, the words came to him, and there it was. So why have I chosen it as one of my favourite hymns? Firstly, I just love singing. I love singing hymns and songs here in church on a Sunday morning. They often lift my spirit and encourage my faith. So my hymn begins with, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. And it is a hymn, as you'll see, that highlights the heart of the gospel, God's good news, in all sorts of ways. It's also a personal hymn. A lot of hymns don't have the word I in them, but a lot of the verses begin with I. And there's a place for that, as well as the they and the we that we sometimes sing in our hymns. They help to make our faith personal and underline it. So that's another reason I really love it. It helps to build my faith. And it's a hymn full of hope and assurance. Words like, I was lost, but Jesus found me, just as John was saying earlier. Days of darkness still may meet me, but his presence still is with me. And then the final verse and the chorus focus on the hope that God gives us beyond the grave. We need to look ahead and be thankful for that eternity. Then at last he'll bring me over, saved by grace and made complete. So when we come to sing the last chorus, can I really lift the roof if we can as we sing it together? Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with his saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. That's for the future. So thank you, Francis Rowley, for this hymn. Thanks be to God. Let's stand and sing it together now.
I have to explain to you why glorious things of you are spoken. Zion City of our God. Well, Zion City is an establishment. It's not bricks and mortar, it's an establishment. And this first powerfully came to my notice, singing it in a packed crowd of singers in the Albert Hall, and they'd come from everywhere for a big reunion of an evangelical society that had taught me how to know Jesus as a friend. But to have that vast crowd singing these emphatic words, it just, well, the roof was still on when we came outside. And it's lovely to sing it emphatically. It's a great establishment when we all love the Lord and we know that the Lord has forgiven and loves us. So you sing it with great gusto, please. Fading are the world's best pleasures, all its boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasures, but none but Zion's children know. So, away we go, glorious things.
My father was a singer, and he loved this hymn too, and often he'd be walking around the house singing, and I'd follow him around, and it always used to make me feel good. And now I thank the Lord for the memories I have of my father through this hymn. I think it's just lovely to have them. So it's one of my main reasons. Also, I like the spirit of it. Thank you.
Thing Onward, Christian Soldier.
25 years ago, on the 12th of September, so next month, our first grandchild was born, a boy, Max. It was a Sunday, and Brian and I had been back in Christchurch about 2 years after he took early retirement from ministry, and we were worshipping in what was Bri's first parish many years before, St. Stephen's Rusley. So on this day, knowing that our daughter was in labour, we were waiting at home to hear the good news. When it came, wonderful news, a healthy boy, mother and baby, both well. It was too late for us to go to St. Stephen's. Instead, and I've no idea why, because we were strictly Methodists at that time, we went to the cathedral. As you can imagine, we were full of thanks and joy at the good news. One of the hymns we sang that morning was, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." It felt so applicable to our feelings of the day, and whenever I sing it now, I'm taken back to that moment.
This was Phil and I, really, because it reminds us of when we went to Kenya when we were medical students, and we worked in a mission hospital, and Phil was really keen on photography, and we managed to get a movie camera and some film, and we took a film of what we did. And the nurses who worked at the hospital were absolutely wonderful, and they agreed to take part in our movie. And they were always singing this song. And it was, "What a friend we have in Jesus." No, we can't sing it now without going, "What a..." And it always reminds us of that really precious time.
"I bind myself to thee" is a wonderful and very old Irish hymn. It goes right back, probably before 1000 BC. It's like the Londonderry Air in that sense, except the words in this case are the originals, but in translation. "I bind myself to thee," I think, brings me to a very realistic situation, one that I'm deeply appreciative of, is one with God our Father. Thank you very much.
And you see also that it's Tim Frank here. I don't want to say anything theological or deep about it, but once upon a time, a few years ago, I was doing a four-day tramp in the mountains, and it was on the last day. I hadn't seen anybody since the beginning, so for over 3 days, and I was walking along, and I thought everything was glorious. I sang this hymn, "I bind myself today," and then suddenly I heard somebody say, "Good morning." So, apparently that person had been camping right beside the track, and it was the only person I ever saw on the whole tramp, and they just were there as I sang, "I bind myself today."